initially was a little bit scary because we didn't know what was going on.
It's been stressful and, you know, people not used to being stuck at home.
I felt, you know, for us as a family, we're just trying to get our head above water.
And for me to sit in my house for, what has it been, like 66 days now? For the first couple of weeks of this, I was losing my mind.
Everything that I was doing in the last month and a half of quarantine was all online.
Our entire ministry launched on social media, so we just went back to those basics.
And we turned into producers, video editors, streamers.
Based on the connection that I had made with the students before, that's where I'm able to continue to grow the connection, and that's why the ministry is successful right now in this time.
We're trying to keep it creative, even though we can't be, you know, together in person.
God is doing really, really amazing things in this time.
God's opened new doors, and He has brought new students, and He has raised up new student leaders.
It's been really fun to see that foundation that we've built for 10 years to start to see it begin to build up and around and out.
Why should we hold back? This is a time that the world is all in it together, and they're looking for hope, and they're looking for action.
I'm not waiting to get back to ministry. We're kind of just plowing through and going full speed ahead and not stopping and not waiting, because this is the time. The time is now.
The method over the last few months has had to change and adapt, but I'm so glad the message is still the same. Amen? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is true for every continent, every nation, every city, every group of people. Well, this morning we have some very special guests with us from Panama, and the Boyds are with us this morning, and Rod and Sherry, thank you for coming to be with us here at Oak Creek this morning. We've had the privilege of being there with them on the field, and they're in a really exciting venture there that's literally, I believe, so ordained of God for such a time as this. And thank you for coming this morning. And Sherry, would you stand and wave at the people over here? That's right. Take a mask off so you can see everyone. There we go. Rod, come. Will you do that this morning? Let's make them feel really welcome. Will you do that? As they come, first-time missionary guests, Oak Creek Assembly of God.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's a real privilege to be here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. This is our first time at the church. It's actually our first time in Wisconsin, believe it or not. And we haven't done it yet, but we're going to try those cheese curds. We understand that's a local delicacy. We'll have to find that out. Well, we're your missionaries to Panama. The Lord spoke to us many years ago, and we were appointed in 1993 and arrived after a year of language study in Costa Rica to Panama in 1995, and began immediately working with a ministry of schools, our Good Shepherd schools in Panama. There were six schools, about 1,200 students when we arrived. And we've seen that ministry grow. It's nothing that we have done. It's just being along for the ride that God has had for us. But we're happy to report that there are now 35 schools and about 10,000 children and youth that are a part of those. And so we give the Lord the glory for that. And these are children and youth whose lives are being ministered to. Imagine being in school for, you know, 5 to 6 hours a day And we teach our teachers that you're a pastor of your classroom to win those kids. And children and youth are touched for the Lord, and their families are touched for the Lord. And we're so grateful for the Child Hope Ministry, Latin America Child Care, and loving sponsors like some of you here in this auditorium today that are helping one of those children or youth be able to go to school. And not too long after arriving, we were invited to be a part of a ministry of reaching out to our Bible schools for ministerial training throughout Latin America. And we've seen the Lord open so many wonderful doors. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. You know, watching that video that we just watched of what the pandemic has meant to a missionary brings back some you know, really close to home feelings that we had. We were in Panama in March when the pandemic hit, and just like here in the United States, everything shut down almost overnight in the country. All the schools were closed, businesses were closed, travel was shut down. And it created a real humanitarian crisis in our country. United States, we benefit from some wonderful social programs, welfare programs, food stamps, and others. Panama does not have that. And we're grateful that the Church of Jesus Christ is there. And we take up that cause and help as we can. And we're so proud of our church and our Good Shepherd School family for their outreach. The photos that you're seeing right now were just taken just a few weeks ago at the Soloy Good Shepherd School, an indigenous area in northwest Panama. Just such amazing disruption during this pandemic, wreaking havoc everywhere, economic, loss of life, just nothing normal anymore, shaking us to the core. And I hope for you it was like it was with us, that we're really challenged in what's important in life and what our priorities are. Is that true for you? Where you really introspect and look inward? And it really reinforced to us as we heard the testimony of these missionaries in the video this morning that the church still is under its marching orders, that we're still expected to go and make disciples of all nations. And our particular emphasis in this strategy that we have held for more than a decade now in our church to go and win people for Christ, to train them to minister for him as he would call them, and to send them wherever they are to go, whether it's across a street or across an ocean. We believe we're fulfilling Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men and women, people who are faithful, will be faithful to teach others. And I think for us, this story that we share now of a young man by the name of Johnny Jr., Johnny Salcedo Jr., is one such person. We met him at the beginning of our ministry in Panama. He's Johnny and Lucy Salcedo's son. The Salcedos at that time and still continue to be pastors of the Jehovah Jireh Church. Johnny Jr. was an early elementary student at the new Jehovah Jireh Good Shepherd School. The school started in 1997 in a house next door to a church. And the church didn't have any walls. It was just a roof. We called it the church with no walls, in fact. It makes church growth really easy. You just put more chairs out there and extend your roof. And so these early days of working with this this church and school, that first year, we had 35 students in, you know, bedrooms of a home that were converted into classrooms. And I remember at the end of the school year, the invitation to share with the kindergartners that were graduating that year. So when you're first starting out, you celebrate anything you can. And how intimidated that young missionary that you see there in the picture, you can't see the beads of sweat that they were there. how nervous he was trying to share with this group of kindergartners something profound for their lives. And as we saw that school grow over the years, we were blessed to have MAPS construction teams come and help build classrooms and built classrooms around that church building. But it was time to tear the house down and to build a true school building. And so from the years of 2000 to 2009, we built a four-story building with 18 classrooms. And that little school that started in a house of 35 students today has nearly 700 children and youth and a very small piece of property, and God is using it for His glory. Well, Johnny Jr. graduated from the 12th grade high school graduate from that school a few years back. He went on to attend Bible school. And just last year, we were privileged to host his last Bible school class in an advanced training program at the Latin America Resource and Training Center in this picture here. And his mother, Lucy, was his teacher for his last class, of all things. And what it was so special to be able to attend his graduation from Bible school with his Bachelor of Arts in Ministerial Pastoral Studies, and his mother was able to present him with his diploma. And there in the picture with Johnny Jr. and myself is his father, Johnny Sr. And so we've been privileged to be a part of Johnny and Lucy's life and their ministry almost from the very beginning of our time in Panama, and have seen that ministry developed. And we had no idea that this man, Johnny Salcedo, would become the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Panama, and that his son would graduate from Bible school and would also become a pastor in his dad's church. He's the worship pastor. What's wonderful about the whole picture of this is that the worship team in his church are primarily former students and some current students of the Good Shepherd school there at Jehovah Jireh, which is amazing. And it meant so much to us that we invited Johnny Jr. and the worship team to be a part of the 2019 CIACAD Christian School Congress that we were hosting in Panama. We had 580 teachers, directors of schools, and pastors that were with us for that event, and Johnny Jr. and his team led worship. And it goes to show you what goes around comes around. And when we invest, that comes back to bless and multiply and bless others as well. Johnny's story really reminds us of the importance of preparing or forming ministers for generations. It just takes time. And it reminds us also of the privilege that we have to be able to watch this young man, Johnny Jr., grow up in every way of the meaning of the word, physically and spiritually, to become an effective minister of the gospel. The Lord spoke to us about 15 years ago and gave us a vision to build a training center in Panama City called the Latin America Resource and Training Center to empower and encourage leaders to train teachers and pastors and to provide them with tools and resources for effective ministry. This 36,000 square foot center would be built in four phases. The first phase was the training and administration center. The second phase was a housing wing. The third was the large auditorium we called the atrium. And the fourth was a training addition on the back of the first phase building. And 6 years ago, during our itineration, we shared a video to encourage our churches about where we were at in the project. It was just beginning, and we were wanting to cross this creek. And how are we going to lay a bridge out there? And I remember walking up this very rugged territory to be able to get to this outlook over the lookout over the property. We're there pictured with Miguel and Mari Morales, who are part of the Oak Creek Missionary family. You support them on a monthly basis. They are the new leaders, actually, of the ministry as we're in a transition period and are helping them and working through, our exit. We're not as young as we used to be, are we? It's like that, isn't it? And I remember being there at that particular place on top of the hill with our team and looking out over it and thinking, I don't even know how we're going to cross that creek, much less, build this building. But God is the God of miracles. And we're so grateful that after we came back from our itineration in the summer of 2015, we went to work on bridging through culverts and laying a roadwork to the back of the property where the building would be built. By January 2016, the leveling was completed. We were getting ready to put the foundations in to begin phase one construction. By January of 2017, the phase one building was about two-thirds complete. This includes classrooms, a library, a protection area, administrative facilities. We moved into the second floor offices in February of that year, and 2 weeks later, we celebrated the International Educational Leaders Dialogue in Panama and our dedication of the first phase at that particular meeting. It was a wonderful moment, for sure. And after that took place, we were, the summer of 2017, we're working on the interior and finishing that and working on the first guest rooms on the phase two building to prepare for a month-long advanced training that would be coming in August of that year. And by 2018, this is what it looked like. And we arrived at one of those times where we were kind of stuck. Have you ever been stuck? And Pastor Jerry came, and we're so grateful for his visit. So grateful, Pastor Jerry, for listening to our hearts. And before we went and visited the center, we went by one of our schools. Missionaries Mike and Mona Shields were a part of our team. And together we went out to the Gethsemane Good Shepherd School. And Pastor Otilio Ayarza, wonderful pastor, and his wife is the director of the Good Shepherd School there, shared their vision. This school started in 2007 in Sunday school classrooms, and different MAPS teams have come down through the years. And we're happy to report that this school that started with about 100 then is up to about 600 children and youth today. Grateful for the ministry. Amen. This is one of those churches. Most of these schools that they're under church ministry, they really have a heart for these children and their parents. And the outreaches are marvelous, and to see the number of people that are one to the Lord and become a part of the church. Our next stop was to arrive at the center, and this picture of the center shows it about 50% complete. That's where we were in May of 2018. And we took a tour of the facilities and sat down and talked about the purpose and the history, the progress, the needs that we have. And we were really focusing on that point at trying to finish the second floor guest rooms, because in just a few months, we would be hosting the 2019 International Educational Leaders Conference. And we wanted to host it there, but we needed all of our guest rooms to be able to do that. And pretty soon, we talked a little bit about the atrium, that phase three in the middle, and Pastor Jerry left and came back to the church and spoke with the missions team about the project and the church leadership about the project. And after several weeks, he communicated, called us, and told us, we want to help you. And Oak Creek Assembly of God helped us. And you became a major help, a major sponsor. And with your help, we were able to finish those upstairs guest rooms and laundry facilities and even get a start on the atrium. And we're so grateful. Thank you, Pastor Jerry. Thank you, church, for all that you have done. The guest rooms are beautiful. They're spacious, fully furnished for the rooms are like little apartments, and it helps for longer stays for that people have, and particularly our missionaries and national leaders that come. And all of the rooms were finished by the end of February 2019 in time for the meeting of the International Leader Dialogue and one of our leadership team meetings as well at that particular time. We had record attendance. In fact, one of the attendees, a former superintendent of the Dominican Republic, he said, Hermano Rodney, Brother Rodney, he said, you've built a 5-star Pentecostal hotel. And that's what we wanted to do. And the Lord helped us to do it. And they feel appreciated and valued, and we're so grateful for that. By January of 2020, all phase 1, 2, and 3 work was completed, including some really important exterior work on the building. The phase 3 atrium that was completed, it's a 300-seat auditorium, dining room. It features a wraparound balcony and mezzanine to connect the second floors of the training building with the housing building. The commercial kitchen was beautifully outfitted with the cabinets, counters, and commercial appliances. And right now, we're focusing on the Phase 4 5,100-square-foot training addition. It's located on the backside of the Phase 1 wing. We're about 75% complete. The first floor is complete with the exception of air conditioning. And we just ask that you would pray with us that the Lord would help us to complete this. Our goal is to complete it by the middle part of 2021. And we thank you so much for praying with us for the sheetrock walls and the bathrooms and the doors and the ceiling and air conditioning, electrical work, all of that. But we can say that where we're at right now, the center is 92% complete. We have some things to do, some big things, including the parking and the road work. There's some large items, but 72% complete. 92% complete, pardon me. And we're believing that by the end of 2021, we will be done with this. And for us, the center represents a legacy. It represents a way of marking out territory, that what we believe to be true is a strategy of winning and training and sending, that people will look, our future missionaries and our future national leaders will look at the center and they will see we believe in training those that God calls to go and serve in the harvest fields of our world. We host and conduct events, all types of different events from pastors, directors, and teachers from all around Latin America or schools, Bible schools. We have a goal and a heart particularly to support two important initiatives of church planting as well as missionary formation. And our hopes there are to partner with these ministries and offer boot camps, ongoing training as well. And we actually want to start a Bible school within a local Bible school to be able to innovate and model for our other Bible schools some new and cutting-edge ways of doing that type of ministry. A couple of years ago, a good friend of mine, Byron Klaus, he was the president of the AGTS Seminary in Springfield for many years and is now vice president for Child Hope Latin America Child Care. He said, Rod, what you're building is really an endowment. What you're doing is you are signaling to future generations that training is important, that those that God calls, we need to train them and prepare them for ministry. And we believe that to be 100% true. But we also want to remind you of the importance of starting young. And this next picture that's here of Sherry and I with this young girl by the name of Donna, to me, typifies this starting early. Donna, we sponsor her through Child Hope to be able to go to the Las Mañanitas Good Shepherd School. But what's special about Donna is that Sherry and I sponsored her mother for 11 years from second grade through 12th grade to go through school. And it just keeps going from generation to generation, helping as we can. Friends, don't stop. Don't stop. This is our time to think about God's call on all of our lives to reach our world for Christ. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your giving. Don't stop. God bless you.
What an exciting project taking place there in Panama, and thank God that we can be a part of it. Thank you for coming and sharing with us today. And we believe that God's got some great things in store for Panama and for the training center there. They're going to slip out and go down and greet all of our kids in the elementary and preschool areas. And so that's where they're headed at this moment. For the next few moments, I'd like to draw your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4, two verses, verse 34 and verse 35. As we look at our theme, compelled, and this morning, compelled to look, listen to these words of Jesus to his disciples while he is in what is called Samaria. You need to remember the Samaritans and the Jews, they did not get along. The Jews, they worshiped in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans at Mount Gerizim, and as a result of intermarrying while they were in Babylonia, they considered them, the Jews considered the Samaritans to be half-breeds. They were turncoats. They didn't stay true to the faith. And so they looked at them with disdain and vice versa. Listen to what Jesus said now. He's right there in Samaria, surrounded by Samaritans. His disciples come and he says to them, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Notice he wants to finish what the Father sent him to accomplish. "Don't you have a saying, 'It is still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe to harvest." Listen to that last portion one more time. "I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe to harvest." Well, we're excited about this week of missions here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. Of all of the events that happen here throughout the year, and we have many of them, this week called Missions Week, our Missions Impact Time, ranks right at the top. This week's lineup of special guests and outstanding events is going to make this, I believe, one of the best Missions Weeks ever. And whatever you do, let me encourage you, don't miss out on one of our guests or one of the services that are upcoming. Now, my prayer for this Missions Week is that each of us will receive a fresh vision of the world in which we live. Bill and Cheryl Gray, they serve as inner city missionaries to the city of Mobile, Alabama. Together, they have what they call the Metro Ministries, which is located right in the heart of Mobile's urban ghetto. Most of the children they minister to there have never seen anything but the immediate area surrounding their inner city housing project. Few of these children have ever seen the beauty of a sunset or a distant horizon or a neighborhood where every block isn't filled with squalor, tagging, and with filth. To help these children dream of a life better than what they've ever seen, Bill, which is a pilot, he takes these children up into the air on a flight over the city of Mobile. From the air, these children that could never see a horizon, have never seen anything other than the squalor in which they've been raised. They can now see from the air neighborhoods, single-family homes, parks and beaches and colleges and universities. And with Christ in their lives now, these young men and women, and a new vision of what surrounds them, they begin to embrace higher goals for their lives. I tell you this morning that one child at a time, Bill and Cheryl, they're literally changing the heart of Mobile. Missions Week is intended to do the very same for each and every one of us. And it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will cause us to take wings and to rise above our city, to rise above our state, our nation, and to catch a vision for the world in which we live. Let's talk about this world in which we live for just a moment. Currently, the world's population is a little more than 7.8 billion persons. Now, let me give you some statistics. 4 persons are born every single second. So every time there's a tick on the clock, every second, 4 individuals are born. At the very same time, every second, 2 persons die. In terms of minutes, approximately 240 persons are born every minute, and 120 will die. Let's place that within a 24-hour period of time. Every 24 hours, there's 345,000 people that are born and 172,000 individuals die. Let's look at how these statistics play out in a year. Let's take from last Missions Week to this year's Missions Week, and what you'll discover is that 125,925,000 individuals have been born. Well, during this same period of time, 62,780,000 individuals have died. Now, the first thing that I believe these statistics show us is that time is important. Every second counts. Because every second, there are 4 individuals that will be born, and every second, 2 individuals will die. And they'll either die knowing Jesus Christ, or they will die without any knowledge of Him. Jesus said that we must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no one can work. Every second counts. The prophetic curtain of time, I believe, is about to fall. And we must ask the question, how many will be lost for eternity? How many family members? How many friends? How many coworkers? How many neighbors? Every second counts. Currently, of the 7.8 billion persons living with us on this planet, listen to these statistics of where they stand spiritually. 1.2 billion of us are in the Hindu category. 535 million are Buddhists. Approximately 2 billion are Muslims. And then there are untold numbers of animists and secularists in this world. It is estimated out of the world's population, once again, of 7.8 billion, 5.9 billion are spiritually lost without any kind of a knowledge of God or relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the very first time I saw that statistic, it knocked the spiritual wind out of me. This deep spiritual void is affecting everything that surrounds us. If you wonder what is happening in our cities, what's happening in the nations of the world, it all relates back to the fact that there's a lack of knowledge of God and one's position with God. Our world, friends, is in trouble. We desperately need today the Prince of Peace. Global conflicts abound. North Korea, South Korea, Japan with China, Turkey with Syria, Pakistan and India, Iraq and Afghanistan, Iran and Israel, just to mention but a few. Nations are on edge with one another, and global conflicts have increasingly been given over to a new, yet I believe very old spiritual dimension. The news is filled with talk of a new world order. There's needing to be something that's going to glue all of this together. There needs to be someone with authority that is beyond the borders of a nation. And there needs to be a new conglomeration of nations, a new world order. There needs to be global law. There needs to be one world religion. And this one world religion is going to unify everyone together. We will coexist under this brand new brand of nationwide, worldwide religion. So what does God think of all of this? I believe that John chapter 3 and verse 16 gives us a little bit of an insight. It says here, and we have memorized this verse from little children on, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, I want to remind you this morning, God still loves this world. And I want you to know that God does not just love a world, this earth, this piece of terra firma. He loves people. He has not changed. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, it says this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." As unthinkable and as far-fetched as it may seem, a mother forgetting her child, God says, even if that were to be possible, and even if that were to happen, I assure you, I will never forget you. Aren't you glad to know that God knows us by name? And aren't you glad to know that he says, no matter what happens, whatever changes in the world, there's one thing you can absolutely count on. I will never leave you, never forsake you, and I will stay with you to the very end of the age. And that is good news, church. As God views this planet from his heavenly throne, I believe he cries out to the inhabitants of the earth, all 7,800,000,000. I believe he cries out, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." I believe that God is whispering that to some, and others he's shouting it over nations. "I know the plans I have for you." In John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name that can save us from sin. There's no other name that can heal our brokenness. There's no other name that can set mankind free. This year's missions theme is compelled. Compelled to reach our world for Christ. And friends, I want you to know this morning, every second counts. Listen to what happens when we make reaching our world for Christ a priority and we begin to labor and work together. Every 37 seconds, a person comes to Christ through an Assembly of God ministry worldwide. That is something to rejoice over. Every 37 seconds. Every 95 minutes, a brand new Assembly of God church is planted somewhere in the world. These are 2017 stats. Friends, I want you to know when missionaries are sent, supported, empowered by prayer, lives are changed, nations take on a brand new course, because I stand before you this morning to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ works. And it works in every nation. It works in all places, wherever it is declared. What happens here this week, on this wonderful missions week here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, it will make a difference in your life. And will make a difference in the world in which we live. And I encourage you, whatever you do, don't miss out on a single event. John 4 and verse 35 once again says, "I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Now let me set the scene there for this. Jesus had been down in Jerusalem with his disciples. And remember when he said, "Let us go back to the Galilee." And he said, "I must go through Samaria." If you look at a map, if you're coming from Jerusalem on the south to the Galilee region, which is on the north, it only makes good sense to go through Samaria. It is the most direct route. However, because of this friction between the Samaritans and the Jews, most Jews would make a wide swing going all the way around by Tyre and Sidon and come back down around from the north. They would not even so much as walk through the Samaritan territories. They despised each other. And as far as the disciples were concerned, those that were following Christ, even his 12, they looked at the Samaritans with such disdain. They looked at them as the least likely of all persons on planet Earth to ever acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah and follow after God's own sent Son. And so as far as the disciples were concerned, "We don't even like these people. We don't even look at these people." And it's to these disciples Jesus said, "There's a saying, and the saying is that it's 4 months and then comes harvest." He said, "But here's what I'm calling upon you to do." He said, "I want you to open your eyes." You see, we can have open eyes and not see. I think of times in life where we like to just block things out. We don't want to see because we know if we see, there's a certain amount of responsibility to seeing. There's a street that I've walked down several times in Paris, and this would not be a unique city. Many of the European cities, they make the beggars all go to a particular one street rather than allowing them to spread throughout the city. And so walking down this street, the sight is, I can't describe what it looks like. The most pathetic looking human beings you've ever come across, not because of the grossness of what they naturally look like, it's because of the disease. Some are there with cups as you walk by. And you can see their eye sockets. There's no eyes in them at all. Either cancer or some other disease. And so all you see is these haunting sockets of where their eyes would normally be. Others without arms or legs. Some that have been half eaten by, you know, disease of one sort or another, limbs and digits gone. As you walk down that particular street, let me tell you, it's one thing to have your eyes open, it's something else to see. And what Jesus was saying, number one, you need to open your eyes because you're believing that harvest time is somewhere down the road. There's going to be time. Remember, every second counts. And so somewhere down the road, 4 months down the road, maybe we'll have a change of thought, a change of mind, and we'll see the Samaritans differently and we'll care about them. And maybe all this will happen somewhere down the road. Jesus said, "I want you to open your eyes right now." And then he said this, "I want you to look." So easy to look the other way, isn't it? As long as I'm okay and we're okay and my family's okay, who really cares what else is going on in the world? And we begin to shutter out and leave out ethnic groups. We begin to leave out religious groups. We begin to leave out people that we think, just like the disciples, these Samaritans, why waste your breath on them? Jesus said, "Look." And then he went on to say this, "The harvest is ready and ripe right now." There isn't seconds to be wasted. There isn't 4 months. You can't say that you're going to have a change of mind somewhere down the road. Every second counts. And so Jesus then, in that moment, he began to proclaim Christ in that area. First, the woman at the well. The woman at the well went in the city and said, listen, you guys got to come. I think this is the Messiah. And there was a great revival that began to take place amongst the Samaritans. I want you to know, it's time to open our eyes. And it's not only time to open our eyes, it's time to look. Have you ever been at an intersection and somebody's been out there with a cardboard sign? Asking for money for their children. Now, some are scams, we all know that. But there's a lot of legitimate needs that are out there in so many realms of life. And we want to look the other direction. We don't want eye contact, because as soon as we have eye contact, we know that there's some form of responsibility. Jesus said, come on, guys, you can't live that way. You got to open your eyes, and I want you to look. This week is all about opening our eyes. It's all about looking. And it's to look through the context of missionaries that are coming from all over the world. This coming Wednesday, we have missionaries in all of our venues. And they're going to be sharing. And as they share, I know that our hearts are going to be able to see what God has shown them. We'll have a brand new vision of what can and should take place in nations of the world. Next Sunday, we've got 4 missionaries with us. In addition to the 4 missionaries that are with us, we have 4 local missionaries that are in the streets of Milwaukee. They're making a difference in our city, and we're so grateful for those that are serving right here in our own community and our communities round about. So what is Missions Week all about? It's about opening our eyes. How many have been born? How many have died? Well, I've told this short little message. Every second counts. And what we choose to do or what we choose to neglect will make a difference in this world. My prayer is that at the end of this week, we will not only have eyes that are open, but we will look. And as we look, our hearts will be drawn to Christ. Now, Father, this morning, we just want to say thank you for, first of all, Lord, we want to say thank you that we too were one day lost. Our families were distant from you. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you drew my father, which would sit outside and listen to the singing on the inside of the church, but not walk inside, until one day he walks in and you drew his heart to you. Thank you, Lord, for the day that the rest of the family began to come and find Christ. And the difference is made in our lives. And as time has gone by and my brother Kenneth passed away, and that decision is all that was important at that moment of the last breath, or for my father, or for my mother, for my sister-in-law, Marvelyn. As the list would go on, Lord, help us to realize that the hope we have didn't just somehow take place. You strategically saw to it that the gospel came to us, whatever the means may be. And Lord, I just pray that this week it would be so much a part of our DNA and character that we would say we can't let a second go by. When you give us that little nudge tomorrow at the office or in the plant or on the bus, help us, Lord, to realize every second counts. Father, I pray this week would be a week, Lord, that will make a major difference in the world. Help us, Lord, I pray, to open our eyes. Help us, Lord, to look upon the harvest fields. Help us, Lord, to recognize, realize that they are ripe and they're ready for harvest. And we're going to thank you for all you're going to do in us.
Spirit.